Thank you, John Guy, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, June 18th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Harare has gone high-tech with its water billing system, giving residents of Kwazana, Budiriro, Glenview, Mufakos and Highfield suburbs the option to check their bill online.
You know that the situation is now faster. They have a situation where one person, you go there and it's a one-stop shop.
Government spending drives up domestic debt to alarming levels, which economists say is crippling the economy.
This is why, you know, companies are playing it prudent and rather, you know, avoid, you know, borrowing from the banks, you know, because of the prevailing harsh economic conditions on the ground.
Many of Zimbabwe's elderly population find themselves relegated to old people's homes with volunteers as their new family.
We are saying everybody who is now 60 years and above should be able to get some assistance from the government of Zimbabwe.
Just stay tuned for these stories and much, much more coming up.
Billing inconsistencies from rates to service charges that have dogged Harare for years may soon be over if the city's council's plans to go online works out. As correspondent Ivan Chifera reports, the trial is underway in five of Harare's suburbs.
Residents of Harare's Kwazana, Mufakose, Budiriro, Glenview and Highfield suburbs are already testing the new system, which allows them to check the status of their water, electricity and other accounts from the phone or internet. This means an end to the trips to the main revenue office in the city center to query or pay bills, an added bonus. Instead of residents having to carry around their monthly statements to make payments, the new system requires only an account number, street address, stand number or surname. Council Principal Communications Officer Michael Shideme said all accounts done through cell phones, banks and district offices will update instantly. Speaking during a tour of council districts already online, Combined Harare Resident Association Senior Programs Officer Tendai Muchada commended the council.
Perhaps one other thing that we just want to recommend within this pilot phase is that they might want to balance and perhaps change their service provider. You cannot rely on Tel1 Internet. I think you've seen that in two of the five district offices that we've been to, the system was offline. So it's still back to square one. One step forward, two step backwards.
Harare Residents Trust Senior Community Coordinator Regina Bakuri is hopeful the new system will improve the city's ineffective billing system. Additionally, says Arthur Muromba of the Harare Informal Traders Council, online billing, unlike the old system, will be more transparent.
My view is a noble idea. It promotes transparency, accuracy, and all that. So we feel there's more they need to do, but what they've done so far, we appreciate it, Bozi. In the past, people used not to know the actual bills and everything wasn't perfect or transparent as such.
Fungai Chikosi of the Proudly Zimbabwean Foundation believes the new system will help build more trust between the residents and council and even boost the city's revenue.
But of interest is the dual role that is being played by each particular teller in each particular station. Before, you would come and stand in a different queue and then go into another queue. So there's a lot of time that has been wasted by people that would come and it would also create queues. But now you cannot have a person coming into the office and saying, "Ndiruku Kanzuru Nchibadarabio." You know that the situation is now faster. They have a situation where one person, you go there and it's a one-stop shop.
The system would be expanded beyond the five suburbs to all the council's 23 district offices throughout the city. Meanwhile, ratepayers who have defaulted on their payments will still be held accountable. Shideme says council has issued out warrants of execution against 4,038 properties and an additional 28,404 summons valued at 25 million are soon to follow. Chideme said commercial properties owing council more than $10,000 will be taken to court. Council is owed more than $300 million in rates and charges. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Government spending has pushed domestic borrowing up $338 million as of March from $75 million based on the latest Reserve Bank report. Taking a big hit from this are industries which had hoped for an improved industrial capacity utilization, currently at 39%. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa's 2015 national budget of just over $4 billion exposed a deep fiscal crisis gripping government, including revelations that it will spend 92% of revenue in recurrent expenditures, leaving a negligible 8% for capital projects and service delivery. Former President of the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, Lakson Zembe, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that government borrowing is stifling economic growth.
Given all these factors against, you know, rising cost of doing production from utilities, power, you know, from labor costs, this is why, you know, companies are playing it prudent and rather, you know, avoid, you know, borrowing from the banks, you know, because of the prevailing harsh economic conditions on the ground. Because of the, you know, lack of, you know, fiscal space for broadening and deepening revenue streams for government due to company closures, okay, and employees losing their jobs, you know, shrinking, you know, tax, you know, income base, as well as even, you know, in terms of, you know, other government revenues, from balance of payment support, which is basically not there for multilateral institutions. So the only way then for government under these circumstances is to be forced to go onto the domestic market and continue to borrow in order to continue financing its recurrent expenditure. It is not the desirable situation. It is not the best situation to obtain, because that in itself, you know, makes money, current, you know, money on the in banks very expensive, because government is now competing with the private sector.
But what can be done in order for Zimbabwe to have an economic turnaround?
Number one, we need, you know, political stability so as to, you know, reduce significantly the current, you know, country risk factor. Number two, we need, you know, policy consistency and predictability and clarity, so that, you know, the international community can re-engage Zimbabwe and support us in terms of, you know, foreign direct investment, in terms of, you know, balance of payment support.
That was economist and former president of the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, Lakson Zembe, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The Movement for Democratic Change formation of Professor Wolfman Ncube has reshuffled its National Executive Committee and added new appointments of almost unknown members of the party in efforts to strengthen it. Longtime party member Jacob Moyo has taken the chairman position vacated in April by Goodrich Chimbaira, who defected to the MDC formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai. Moyo's deputy is Chupika Imandaza. The treasurer position, once held by Paul Tembanyati, who has been redeployed to the Council of Elders, now belongs to Teresa Muchowo. A party spokesman, Joshua Mhambi, says the new executive will work hard to rebuild the movement.
We will not discuss that we had an upheaval some months ago when we saw the departure of the party chairman, who was running away from a disciplinary hearing after being caught misbehaving. We also saw the departure of the vice chairperson for his own reasons, and the departure of other people, and the elevation of others, like your former deputy secretary general, who was made acting secretary general of the party. Naturally, after this departure or these departures, we needed to fill in gaps that have been created by their leaders.
Some say the reshuffle shows that all is not well in the party. Your take?
As a party, we needed a fully-fledged party leadership structure, which is what we were responding to. The gaps were occasioned by the departure of certain characters. And in this process of realigning and reassigning, there are people who had expressed an intention of stepping down due to age and then going to your council of elders and other reasons. When you notice that our party will not insist on a person staying, as they say with other parties, that when you are in, you die in there, you try to go, you get the praise for that. We are not that kind of party. We are quite democratic. We allow people to make choices. So this is a development which is not new in terms of showing or indicating trouble. It's just an exercise that we wanted to do so that we are a complete party and then we continue with party building activities. So we needed to fill in gaps that were created naturally.
A spokesman, Joshua Mhambi, of the MDC formation led by Professor Welshman Ngube, speaking with Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo from Ulawayo.
Zimbabwe's elderly citizens, or those over the age of 60, as defined by the Constitution of Zimbabwe, account for about 6% of the country's population, according to Help Age Zimbabwe, the leading national organization catering for the needs of the senior citizens. However, the twilight years of many of the nation's grandparents and aging aunts and uncles is worrisome, says Adonis Fife of Help Age Zimbabwe, and is urging the government to do more for its senior citizens.
The government of Zimbabwe is not actually giving the older person some money. So as Help Age Zimbabwe, and advocating on behalf of the older persons, we are basically advocating for the introduction of universal pension to all older persons in Zimbabwe. And our definition for older persons in Zimbabwe is we adopted the UN definition, which is anyone who is 60 years plus.
Many of the country's elderly find themselves alone and living in assisted living facilities like Makoni Old People's Home in Rusape, where Messrs. Bernard Petro, Twin James, and Mero Ngirazi, all former farm laborers around the Nyazura and Headlands area before the farm seizures in 2000, live and at Zororai Old People's Home in Sakova, Mutare, the current home of retiree Nelson Langveld. Bernard Petro, Twin James, and Mero Ngirazi, who can't remember their ages, are at Makoni Old People's Home because they lost track with their families in Mozambique, where they came from before moving to Zimbabwe, well before independence in 1980. Langveld is a former artisan with the city of Harare and is discouraged by the plight he's living at the Zorora Old People's Home. He says the government should assist those over 65 like him by giving them a monthly pension to cushion them from the economic hardships, as is done in other countries.
These old people need some bit of money of their own to be free in activity and in action. Okay, so may the government think about something else and help them out. We are thankful with what is happening.
Langveld worries that equally elderly people, including 91-year-old President Robert Mugabe and his colleagues in government, overlook the plight of their fellow elders. He says they should cease working and retire.
Those jobs are old, man. They're still working. What for?
He says he doubts they will end up in a home like him when they retire, as they have other options.
But no pension. You see, they accept that money from your team. I suggest they should go through that screen and the ministry must, the government must change. One much better one that could survive myself, but what do you want to become a bit political, but that's not it.
The chairperson of Makoni Old People's Home, Potifa Guta, says the home has been running with the help of volunteers and there's no funding for full-time staff. He says often they get help from the business people in the form of coffins following the death of elderly persons. Another thorny issue, access is to medication for the elderly.
How can we get a coffin so that tende kunoviga? Vanhu vanoviga, people are always generous and keen to come and support. But by and large, we are very happy to support Yatrukwana from the church community, from the business community, from the Indian community in Rusape, and many other well-wishers in the schools.
The matron of Zorora Old People's Home, Sister Blandina Mariko of the Roman Catholic Church, says they are constrained when it comes to food provisions, money to get full-time staff to look after the elderly.
At the moment, we don't have money for salaries for our workers. At the present moment, we have got voluntaries. They work from 7 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We don't have those for night shift, especially now, these days. We have got some who are not well, and they don't have anyone to look after them during the night. The position we leave them, it's 4 o'clock, that's the position we will see them.
Sister Blandina appeals for assistance to kickstart a self-help project or program in market gardening poultry for self-sustainancy at the home.
Bodies around. So I think our biggest challenge at the moment is salaries. Another challenge, our food, we depend on donations. If we don't have anybody who brings food for us, I have to go around to bake food for our workers. Another challenge again, if we could have money to have projects, self-sustainable projects, like looking after umbrellas. We've got them, but in small scales. Layers, market gardening. I'm sure that this will help us to keep the house, the home going well.
At Makoni Old People's Home, there are 11 elderly people, 10 males and 1 female, while 20 elderly people live at Zuria Old People's Home. Reporting for Studio 7 in Rusape, this is Loida Moyo.
Thanks, Lloyd. Of course, that was the story about the old people's homes in Manicaland province and other regions of Zimbabwe that are in dire need of help in terms in many areas, from food and clothing to qualified staff to take care of the needs of the elderly.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Zimbabwe's political situation has brought the country to a virtual standstill, and analysts warn without change, it will only get worse.
Also, marriage counselor and pastor Amai Gunguwa speaks on women's self-empowerment.
You don't need a man in your life to be valuable. We are fearfully and wonderfully made before God, and God our Father, He values us. So we don't need someone else to come and put value on us, because some girls think, well, I'll just rush and get married because now when I'm married, then I have value. You have value even before you are married.
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The U.S. Justice Department says it has opened a federal hate crimes investigation into Wednesday night's fatal mass shooting at an historic African-American church in the southeastern U.S. city state of Charleston, South Carolina, as the search for the gunman continues.
Reports published Thursday show the U.S. economic outlook, job market, and inflation rate improving, while the strong dollar is hurting American exports.
Chad said Thursday its military carried out retaliatory airstrikes against Boko Haram militants in neighboring Nigeria after a pair of suicide bombings earlier this week in the Chadian capital that killed at least 33 people.
Nearly 2 years after the 2013 elections, characterized by some as a ZANU-PF landslide and others a farce, muddled politics in Zimbabwe have remained the order of the day, with ordinary Zimbabweans reeling from its impact. Analysts have said Zimbabwe remains a threat to the region's stability and security, with opposition parties and civil society organizations calling for urgent intervention from regional body, Southern African Development Community, and the continental body, Africa Union, both chaired by President Robert Mugabe. But with MDC opposition boycotting elections in Zimbabwe and newly emerging parties calling for electoral reforms, the question remains if Zimbabwe will avert its political challenges in the nearest future. For Perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to ZANU-PF activist and political commentator Morris Ngwenya and Movement for Democratic Change Formation of Morgan Tsvangirai spokesman Obet Gutu. Gutu says with the political climate at a standstill, nothing in Zimbabwe will move forward.
For as long as we don't address the issue of political legitimacy, we are going to be facing the kind of problems that we are facing. What we want done as the MDC is for this government to accept that it is illegitimate and then to proceed to put up structures that will enable Zimbabwe to hold free and fair elections.
Mr. Ngwenya, let me have you come in there with your response on what Mr. Gutu is saying.
The reason why the MDC sank very fast into extinction, not only oblivion, but extinction, is because it has people masquerading as officials who utter such shameful statements. How can an illegitimate president be allowed to chair subjects? How can an illegitimate president be elected to chair the AU? How can an illegitimate president be sent delegation to by EU, by USA, by all these countries that are busy sending delegates to? That is the reason, and that is the problem that we have in Zimbabwe. We have people who are so ambitious and are so selfish that they forget effects on the ground.
Mr. Gutu, the question on many's mind is the move by the MDC to not participate in by-elections that just passed last week. But what are the ramifications of this if you are looking for free and fair elections, but then also saying that ZANU-PF is failing to provide them?
What we are simply doing as the MDC is to exert pressure on the illegitimate ZANU-PF administration to ensure that at the end of the day, they will carry out electoral reforms that will even up the playing field. We are talking here of media reform, we are talking here of legislative reform, and we are even talking of political reform.
Mr. Ngwenya, do you or does ZANU-PF acknowledge this pressure? Because although the MDC not participating in elections as of now plays to the advantage of ZANU-PF, it still begs the question of the issues that are going on politically in the country.
Well, Mr. Gutu knows very well that is mere rhetoric. How can you now talk of forms when the almost similar conditions that prevailed in 2013 when they were trounced in the elections, they participated under the same similar circumstances. He's trying to hide behind the finger and is ashamed to tell the people that MDC is bankrupt because of corruption and because of Mr. Tsvangirai's hanging on to power, even when the few people in that party that constitute that party want him out, because he has shown very well that he cannot do anything positive for this country. ZANU-PF is in fact under no pressure because it's business as usual. When elections are called for by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZANU-PF participates in those elections and they win the resounding.
Mr. Gutu, moving forward, looking at the political landscape in Zimbabwe, but then also at the prevailing conditions of the economy.
What we are looking and calling for is the MDC, as the country's largest and most popular political party, is to have the regime of Robert Mugabe accept that they are illegitimate, one, and to have immediately a situation where free and fair elections that are going to be supervised by the static, by the AU, and even by the United Nations held.
Mr. Ngwenya, let me end with you. The question of politics in Zimbabwe.
Looking at what is perhaps holding the country together, Zimbabwe, is because ZANU-PF has been consistently using facts to point out to the people of Zimbabwe that we need to unite, and ZANU-PF has exposed the enemy, and people have realized that, and going forward, yes, it is very important that we maintain the unity called upon by our leader, especially President Mugabe.
That was ZANU-PF activist and political commentator Morris Ngwenya in Victoria Falls and Movement for Democratic Change Formation of Morgan Tsvangirai spokesman Obet Gutu.
Women need to be empowered through education and other means to build their confidence to face some of life's many challenges, including infidelity and abuse in the home, says Pastor and marriage counselor Amai Lucia Gunguo. Maigungu tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye that education helps to give women choices they otherwise may not have if they don't have the necessary knowledge.
Normally encourage them just to talk, discuss any problems in the marriage. Suppose you think your husband or your wife is going out with somebody and you are not really sure, don't play the blame game. Sit down and talk about it and really make sure. But if you are really confident that he's cheating on you with someone, but they don't want to take responsibility, you better use protection. You get HIV and you die, so you better protect yourself.
And also, just as a word of advice, when you're faced with infidelity, what are you advising women to do before they even enter into the institution of marriage?
I would still say, starting from a girl, she's a special person. She's a special human being. You don't need a man in your life to be valuable. We are fearfully and wonderfully made before God, and God our Father, he values us. So we don't need someone else to come and put value on us, because some girls think, well, I'll just rush and get married because now when I'm married, then I have value. You have value even before you are married. Value yourself. Improve your life. Do something before you even get married. Don't get married to get value. Get value on yourself before you even get married. Let the man who is marrying you realize, wow, what a gift I'm getting from God. Because sometimes we look down upon ourselves, even in our culture or in our society. Girls are just looked down upon themselves, or even women. But put value on yourself. You know, as a human being, I'm valuable. I can educate myself. I can, you know, do things for myself before I can even get married. Then after that, you get into a marriage knowing I'm valuable myself, even without anyone.
That was marriage counselor and pastor Amai Lucy Agunguo speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Harare.
Good evening, Njonga and friends. Thanks for doing us proud in each and every episode of your usual broadcast. For you always acquaint us with what we desire to hear in any given news bulletin. For it is such a blessing to have you, particularly at this moment in time when things are not going well in our beautiful country, Zimbabwe. Please keep up doing the good work. Greetings from my wife, Chennai, Takuzwa Nashe Peace Jr., my son, my mother, Gogova Shawad in Berengwa, and all my family members. Also, I wish to greet all the Ngarakana and the Mazire family in Berengwa and in some other cities around Zimbabwe. Finally, greetings to the Mananda family from Chief Mataruse in Berengwa and all those who know me. I greet you. Let's remember to pray to God so that He may redeem Zimbabwe. May God bless you all. Have a blessed night.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. in our Women's Roundtable on Live Talk today. Host Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye and Praxidis Jeremiah will be talking about the challenges women face from infidelity to abuse in the home. Hear what marriage counselor and pastor Amai Lucy Agunguo has to say about overcoming such challenges through self-empowerment.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Harare has gone high-tech with its water billing system, giving residents of some suburbs the option to check their bill online. Government spending drives up domestic debt to alarming levels, which economists say is crippling the economy. And many of Zimbabwe's elderly population find themselves relegated to old people's homes with volunteers as their new family.
That's our broadcast this evening. Thank you for joining us. Now please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night, Zimbabwe.